Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Deep Thoughts. Today we're going to talk about taking action. And I know for some of you, again, that's going to sound farty and self-helpy. Hey, if it does, why don't you go take some action someplace else? And for those who know, I'm no shill, I'm no boring mind, pull up your favorite seat, perhaps your favorite cigar, and let's get to some success and destiny through action. It's okay, it's all foo-foo to say, I'm going to watch a video about taking action. Here's the thing. For the majority of the public that I bumped into in my lifetime and managed, they'll come to me and say, you know, I got to do something different with my life. And they'll say, I got a degree in XYZ, but I'm doing PDQ as a job. And, you know, very rarely is it, you know, they got a degree in something that is completely useless. You know, that happens, but I don't really hang out with those people. But it always comes down to, in the first 60 seconds, the only difference between them succeeding and getting their destiny, not my destiny for them, but their destiny, is that they haven't taken any action. And you might think, well, you know, okay, dude, we get the subject, we get the idea, you know, you're supposed to go out and do things. That's not exactly that helpful. The reasons why I'm not taking action are what nobody ever talks about. And that is the truth. That is the complete truth. Because no one sits you down and describes what taking action means, nobody knows what to do. I'm telling you. And the ones that do, do, and they have the ups and downs that all of us who are doers go through, right? But I'm going to give you some examples of my own life. Obviously, it's the one I know the most. And hopefully get you to see the difference between doing nothing and doing something. I've had friends of mine that I've worked with, I should just say first, known for several years, a decade or more. And they've had these great ideas. And we talk about it and we incubate the ideas. And then eventually, there's a set of circumstances which goes either way, one of two ways, I should say. The economy goes really, really bad, and the individual who had this idea, this avenue, this opportunity to make money and have fun with life is forced into trying it, which is always very interesting, and it's actually very healthy to go through that phase as much as it's terrifying. And I would say that that's the majority of the cases, and maybe it's just 51%. I don't know the exact percent, but it is probably the majority of the percent where people are forced into trying something. That's how they got their business started, so to speak. And then there are folks that meticulously plan and go after it. Now, I've been involved with both those and a third, which is that you start off planning to do it. You got some money in the bank. It takes a little longer than you think. And then eventually you get squeezed at the very last second and prosperity happens. I can tell you the number of times that I have been the guy to take action, to sit down with someone, listen to all their dreams, and I take, you know, we partner up, we draft up some operating agreement where we share shares of a company, and then I run off and I make phone calls and I connect dots, I, you know, data mine my partner's brains until we come up with the product we're looking for. Has been at least half a dozen times, and sometimes I've done it completely by myself, where I've just sat and I go, hey, I'm the founder, the CEO, blah, blah, blah. You know, I control all things. I have the art side, the programming side, or whatever, contacts. You can do it by yourself as well. But the big, big challenge is understanding what taking action means, because if you come at it sort of blindfolded, and you've never done it before, really, meticulously, premeditated, planned, then you might just be freaked out. You might just be freaked out of what to do. So let's go through some scenarios of some of the basic concepts, and let's go through some of the more intense, meticulous concepts. Most basic concept goes like this. It's going to sound silly, but once you hear it, if you're in the pocket of what I'm saying, you're going to laugh a little bit. Which is, let's say you're not taking action, but you're waking up every single day and you're going to work, or you're doing going to school, or you're doing whatever you're doing. Okay, so you're taking some action in the areas of mandate, places where society demands that you go out and do things in order to survive. You're going to school. It means you've committed to that, and to not go to school means that you're going to look like crap if you don't graduate and da-da-da. Right? Right. Nothing wrong with either one of those two categories. But if you have an alternate idea, a B plan, a C plan, and you wake up every day and it's just an idea in your head, I will tell you this, incubating an idea in your head and thinking it through is what geniuses do. So don't feel bad. Nikola Tesla was a very intense genius. Nikola Tesla would build machines in his mind and run them. He would age ball bearings in his brain day in and day out, and he would age ball bearings in his mind for 365 days to make sure that the attrition on the surface of the ball bearings was going to be sufficient for whatever he was doing. Now, I don't actually know of any device he made to have ball bearings, but that was a very famous thing for him. Now, you're going to be thinking about the ways to approach what you want in life, and you should be thinking about the obstacles that could stop you. You need to think about your strategic resources that you need to survive. If you're a solo and you live with your parents, roommates, then you have a lot more options because you don't have to come up with so much money every 30 days. So if you live with your parents, hopefully you can, you know, take immense advantage of that. And I'm obviously not trying to talk to 45-year-olds live with their parents, but more, you know, teenager and somewhere in the 20s. It's not necessarily bad that, you know, it's not necessarily required that you feel bad about living with your parents as long as you're making that count, in my opinion. I really don't care how old you are. Some folks get out on their own, the economy crashes, and you feel crappy, but you end up moving back with your parents for a short period of time just to get your ball bearings together. No problem with that either. My parents live 1,800 miles away from me and have since I was 17, and so I never had any options. Let's get your act together. So to finish up this thought, the idea is you must, obviously, do something at some point. And thinking is one thing, so please don't discount that. But at some point, you need to probably get out, and I'm going to tell you, this is the best way to do it, and I know I'm old school, but get a pad of paper, and a pen, or whatever, preferably a pen, because it doesn't go away that easily. And start drafting up the pieces and parts. The pieces and parts that will make your vision happen. Now, here's the cool thing. These could be psychological things. These could be physical things. These could be academic things. You need to go learn something. Maybe it's a combination of all. It probably is a combination of everything you could possibly do. You're just making the list. You make the list as packed as you possibly can. Every single thing you think that you might need, you put on that list. Knowing what you should know is this. You may not need everything on that list. But once you're done, what you want to do is prioritize the list as to what you can get done the fastest. And you want to measure your personality in one way. We are usually creatures of one of two species, and there's no problem with being either one. One is not better than the other by any stretch of the imagination, but it goes like this. Some of you like to do the hard stuff first and finish easy. That's me. Some folks like to get oriented first and do the easier stuff first, develop some skills, and then do the hard stuff last, which is usually how every class is taught, and there's nothing wrong with that either. It may be faster to do the second one in a particular area, or maybe faster to do the first one in a particular area. It just depends on your proficiency. For instance, if what we're talking about here is something you're really good at to begin with, then going after the hard stuff first, eh, whatever. It's just your choice. It's going to be, you know, it doesn't get that hard, you know. But if it's something you've never done, you might have to start off, because you have no choice, at the easier stuff and go towards the harder stuff. For instance, this year I had to learn that, well, I had to dive deeper into a 3D product called Blender 3D than I ever had before. And the reason why was that I needed to learn how to do stereoscopic images, left eye, right eye 3D stuff. That needed to be the way the stuff was output. I needed to do it in still image form. I needed to do it in movie form. And there's all kinds of weird anomalies with every application and where it likes to store things and how you set the default, this and that. And so there was nothing I could do but start off at the very basics. And the documentation online sucked. It still sucks. But the YouTube videos are amazing. Except a lot of YouTube guys sit and meander and talk, and, you know, they say the same thing 10 times. So I had to go slow, which is not my style. But again, there's no problem either way. No problem either way. So now you've got a list of everything you think you need to do. You're starting to prioritize what you can get done right away. And again, what I would suggest is, if you have little tiny pockets of time in your schedule, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, see if what you can accomplish on the list that only takes 5 to 10 minutes to do. A bit of research. Research goes in two phases, right? Research starts out with, I need to find the articles that I need to read. I need to find the books I need to read, blah, blah, blah. I need to find the YouTube videos that I need to watch. That's the first step. And that can be done in minutes. You don't have to watch them until you can watch them. For those of you who find yourself waiting, I wouldn't say driving your car necessarily, but if you're taking a bus, riding a subway, a train of any kind, or someone else is driving, or you're sitting on the pot, whatever it is, man, you have your playlist and you're ready to watch and learn. Now, if you're following along a tutorial that's got a, you know, computer interface and you need to understand what they're clicking, obviously you're going to have to dedicate yourself either in front of a large television with your laptop on your lap, or you're going to have to use your computer in your office or your bedroom, whatever. But here's the thing. There's going to be, you know, a couple phases. There's going to be all the things you can put on that piece of paper that are simply the raw things that you need to accomplish to become proficient in what you're doing. And then you're going to have the second layer, which is, how do I use my proficiencies, what I've learned, because you may know everything. You may. How do we use that to start a business? Because then you put it into context, which it can be, for me, it's one of the most entertaining, fun things ever. I typically have to do all this stuff asynchronously to some degree, meaning all at the same time. You know, I think I know enough. I get the business plan started. I understand the market that I'm getting into to a certain degree. Sometimes it's one shot, make a product and walk away. Sometimes it's, you know, several products over the course of several years. Sometimes those products need engineering, software, hardware, needs a new brand, etc., right? Putting all of it into a sort of a plan. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, I'm talking about some bigger concepts perhaps, right? I'm talking about corporations and places you can make a lot of money. But, you know, you, if you're just going to, you know, I don't know, do a very small thing, all this stuff should be generically applicable to what you're doing. You know, you can just think about me. Every time you hear a video like this from anyone, you want to imagine that I'm talking directly to you about what you're doing, which is why I try not to get too specific, so you can substitute the symbols of what I'm saying for what you need to know, right? What you need to do. But, you know, when you, no matter what you're doing in life, there are phases of which you can do things asynchronously, meaning at the same time. You know, if you're only one person and it's only one plan, well, then you're going to have to probably do what's called a round robin, which is you walk in a circle and you have stations with the various elements that pertain to your plan. You can move each one of them forward just a little bit at a time. If you share it with a partner or friends, then you can assign one station to each person. Hopefully they agree that that's the station they want to work at. You're not just being bossy. Poor Beyonce. But then there are things that you're just going to have to do in order, because there's nothing else you can do. Doesn't matter, but you need to understand of your master plan, getting a new career, learning a new trade, building a particular object or thing, you know, If you're building a home, for instance, you could have folks prefabbing the walls while one guy is laying the foundation because you're not a cement guy. You can go off and do something else. You can relax if that's what you need to do. Now, I am going to tilt into a business model because I think that whatever you're doing, you're trying to do it typically for some state of being that's longevity based, right? You want it to continue, right? You want to become an artist and remain an artist. You want to become a writer, director, musician, accountant, whatever you want to do, you want to become it for a long time. Now, some people are trying to cash out and do the lottery thing. So just take everything in this lesson that gets you to that one destination, that finite destination, and then you know that you're going to exit at that point. Nothing wrong with that at all. For those of you that want to start a business and join with other individuals, remember Guy Kiyosaki's book, The Cash Quadrant, which is phenomenal. You are either an E, an S, a B, or an I. You're either employed by someone else, meaning you're employed at some company. You're a sole proprietor, which means you have a business, but you're typically by yourself in that venture. You have a B, which is a business with partners, and that can get pretty damn massive. Again, I would say that Bill Gates, a $65 billion evaluation on his stocks, was still a B because he technically, in that capacity of being the CEO of Microsoft, he was employed with his partners, right? When he popped out, he became an I. And an I is not just someone who invests in things that are already going. That's the layman's understanding of things. Well, I found a business that just needed $1 million. I put $1 million in. We flipped it for $100 million 24 months later, and boom, boom, boom. It's more complicated than that, more interesting than that. An I doesn't always just look around for existing opportunities. They incubate opportunities up. Great comic example of this is the movie Blazing Saddles, where Hedley Lamarr figured out that the railroad was going to go through a town called Rock Ridge, and so he wanted to destroy Rock Ridge and take over the land and develop it. So he didn't have the controls over where the railroad went, but he went and found out where it was going and put the town in that place. Right? Now, at the higher level, those who built the railroads knew that that was going to stimulate funds, and so they also bought land and made city names and developed it from nothing. That's what a true investor does, is build something from nothing, not just wait around for handouts from society. The key of this episode that I just want to put as a heartbeat affirmation in your life is that if you have committed to yourself that you're going to take action, then fairly routinely, either several times in a single day or several days throughout the week, you should be able to look at your day when you put your head on your pillow at night and say, I took action. I moved the ball forward a little bit down the playing field. What I want to give you a little bit of a reprieve on, and I typically don't do this because unless I know you and we're sharing the task personally, but since I have no other way to communicate with you about this, let me just give it to you the whole way. If you were with me personally, I would push you and push you and push you. Friendly, but I would push you. And when I see you start breaking is when I start to ease off on you, although in your mind, you're not really conscious that I'm easing off on you. Because I know you have thresholds, right? I don't want you broken. And I should say this, before you ever join my team, I make sure that what you're doing in the company is what you love to do to the best of my ability. That way, we're all waking up tired, exhausted sometimes, but we're going, isn't this the greatest life at this point in time that we could possibly have on planet Earth? And that gives you sort of your own push. But there'll be times when, we're all exhausted. It's the last part of a particular phase of development, and we're just sort of like a few last man standing. Man and female, right? Man and woman. So you're going to have to regulate this by yourself because we're not going to have a chance to work together, most likely. So what you have to do is you do push yourself as much as you possibly can, but you need to find the heartbeat of your consciousness, your heartbeat of your energy levels. You need to monitor your sleep, your food supplies. You cannot just eat crap food all the time and say, isn't this fun? We're eating at, Taco Bell every day because we're working so hard. That's not smart. You'll eventually run out of any nutrition. In fact, the second you eat fast food, you're pretty much skipping nutrition altogether, which means organ failure on a microscopic level at least will start to occur while you're digesting the nothingness. Sure, your stomach feels like you've eaten, but you're dying inside a little bit. So be careful. If anything, you know, go to the grocery store and buy some good organic stuff and balance your diet out. Don't worry about the five food groups. You pretty much need meat proteins, in my opinion. Red meat proteins keep your body made of, you know, supplied with all the enzymes and amino acids that our cellular structure is actually created from, because if a cell divides without its base components available to build duplicates, then you start getting cancers. Your skin becomes extremely wrinkled and very thin, and because you're just basically sucking your own life force out. Spare yourself all the morality horseshit. Eat meat, okay? Otherwise, brace yourself. But you don't have to eat it every meal. Need your carbs at least once a week. Drink plenty of water. And just watch out for sugars, because it's an inflammatory. It doesn't do your body any good. You need a little bit of salt, and you need a little bit of fat. All those things work together. Everything you eat turns into a sugar, unless it's a fat. Fats can't be sugar, sugars can't be fats. So don't let anyone lie to you about that bullshit. But you need to monitor your diet. Anytime you cheat, like I've said in several episodes, monitor it. Put it down in massive moderation, right? Now, again, I'm giving you idealistic situations, but I'm also trying to give you a margin in your life that is realistic, right? I'm not saying be perfect. In fact, I'm trying to help you figure out how to deal with the fact that we are human and not perfect. And so that's why I think a lot of the self-help stuff, boy, I want to say the S word so bad there. A lot of the self-help things that I've listened to and heard people give presentations on, it's just too idealistic. It's too perfect. There has to be some, you know, mortar between the bricks that's made of, has a little bit of leeway here and there. Still holds the fiber of your sweater together, but it's not rigid. Right? All right. Now, I've mentioned some of this stuff in the past. I'm going to plagiarize myself a little bit here. But I tell you what, you know, even if you've heard it once, the nice thing is it's been so many episodes back that you probably just need to hear it again in a different context. So here we go. No one knows typically how many steps it takes to gain success. You might know some core steps. You know, you'll be like, I go to college, I get a degree, I get a job, I get money, I get wife, I get kids, I get cancer, and I die, right? No one on the show should be getting cancer. Go watch the cancer episode, please. But you know that even with the most idealistic approach towards this whole thing, you know that there are sub-steps that you have no knowledge of. There's a million, literally, tiny little steps. Now, let me give you a crude, weird example of how many steps happen that you don't realize. I program from time to time. I just get this bug up my ass and I create these massive things online. And I did a contract for a couple of years from 14 to 15. And the interesting thing was I started off with a blank directory, pretty much. I uploaded a few lines of code for some tools and some plugins, but it represented probably 5% of what I'm about to tell you. And then I started writing code. And my code's super tight. Like, I write old school code. When I was done after 2 years and a couple months, I had to do backups, right? And that's when you start to see how many files you've created. Now, minus backups, the amount of files I had written in about 2 years and a couple months was about 60,000 files. And that's not the amount of code that I wrote inside. Well, you would think it would take a long time just to sit at your computer and say, new file, new file, new file, new file, and just come up with 60,000 files. But I did. And so that's an example of, geez, if I had taken the job and someone said, in fact, if I had applied at this contract, it was a favor to a friend of mine, and she had said, okay, this project requires that you create 60,000 code files, and you're going to have to write code inside them, I probably would have bid the project at, you know, 10x the price, which would have been wrong because it really wasn't. I mean, it was, I did a great job. Let's just put it that way. But the idea is that's just what it took. That's all. It just took that freaking long to get it done. It took that many files, like that much code. So here's the thing. If you don't know how many steps you need to take to get to your goal, then what are you doing not taking steps? Think about how fleeting it is not taking the steps that you need to take. How terrifying it is that if you really want your goal and you're not taking any steps, well, it's sort of like when you're going backwards. You ever been driving your car somewhere and you're on the right track? Oh my God. It's just, you know, you're going to slide right into the party. You're going to slide into that job interview, whatever, wherever the hell you're going, whatever you're going to do, you're going to get there on a perfect time, right? And you miss your exit. You miss the exit. You look down at your phone. Something caught your eye. For whatever reason, you just zoned. You were singing. You're talking to your friend. And now you're looking at the other side of the highway, and it is packed. It is utterly packed. And in your brain, you're thinking, well, there's probably some side streets. But you look over, and it's Glendale, and it's the 5. And the only side street you've got, which there is a little maintenance street over there, but most of the side streets, a gigantic mountain on the other side is a Hollywood sign, right? Well, the side street's also packed. And so just missing your exit, you went from being on time and super duper happy to being late, which is not indicative of you. And you don't know when you're going to get there. And you get that feeling of dread that now, pretty much for the next 10 minutes, 20 minutes, depending on how bad traffic is, you're going the wrong way. You're physically going the wrong way. In fact, when you miss your exit and there's not another exit really soon, after that, you get that weird feeling like, I'm wasting my life. All of a sudden, I went from the most productive moment of my life to every split second I'm wasting my life because I'm going the wrong way. Now, hopefully it's not that bad and you can laugh it off and you got a nice car and you don't mind being in it. But that's what it's like. For me, in my opinion, about when I am sitting around doing nothing. Now, just to parse a hair here, you know, I have one grandmother who was a stay-at-home mom that raised 5 children. I have another grandmother who raised 2 sons, and she was a school teacher the whole time. Both of the women worked their asses off. One of the women had so many children that the amount of tasks on a daily basis to keep 5 kids fed, clothed, got into, you know, in school, dealing with all their social issues, mental issues, development, and a husband who worked his ass off. It was a busy, busy world, plus her own needs, right? She kept an immaculate home her whole life. Did an amazing A-plus job, raised nothing but fantastic kids, etc., etc. Now, someone might say, well, that's just a housewife job. Like Janis Joplin got kind of jaded because she was attacked supposedly by the housewives who were criticizing her rock starness. I don't think Janis gave a shit about someone staying home and washing dishes versus someone like her going out and making music constantly. It was just that was her love and that's their love. But of course, the media and society likes to pit everyone against each other to see a good fight. But we need to, as a society, realize that your goals and taking action could be something as basic as cleaning up your house because you want to keep a good, clean house. It doesn't have to be something famous or anything like that at all. If it makes you happy, the destination that you're going for, those are valid goals to go for. And I'll try to loop back before this is over and we can review some great goals that you could have that are very basic that I think most of us have a huge list of goals that we have to take care of. But the other grandmother, you know, went to school, taught tons of kids, thousands and thousands of kids over 36 years, including my father and my uncle, and just worked her tail off, right? I always mention Tony Robbins in one way. You should definitely take his course if you're interested. I don't think you need to walk on coals, and I don't think you need to pay $5,000. I think you just need to spend the $125 for his whatever the hell you get nowadays. I got him on cassettes and CDs. I'm sure they're just MP3s nowadays. But the thing that he can teach you very quickly is that once you map negativity to the stuff that you don't want, you don't have to do anything else. And well, I guess you say positivity to what you do want and get it correct, right? Eating pie and getting heavy is not what you want. It isn't. It just isn't. Eating pie you like, but getting heavy you don't. Being, you know, exercising you don't like, but looking fantastic and being the best that your gene pool can be. And believe me, we're all pretty freaking sexy. I don't give a shit what you look like. You get yourself in a good physical state, you're going to look great. And it doesn't matter what, how old you are. I just met a couple last night. The couple were 89 and 89, and you would argue with them about their age. They look 30 years younger. Amazing. But whatever. Once you map the two properly, positivity in the right direction, negativity in the right direction, your mind will automatically help you take action in the right way. But if you allow yourself to doubt yourself, which you owe yourself more than that, right? Stop doubting yourself. You deserve to not be doubted, especially by yourself. You realize, I know I can accomplish this. I just don't know how many steps, and I'm totally good with that. The one thing I know is that if I take a step every single day, I move closer to the end zone. And let me give you a ridiculous example, but this will give you the idea. Let's say I take a football field. It's 100 yards long, right? So 300 feet long. I remove all the numbers and the arrows indicating what yard line you're on. So you can never see it. And it puts you in sort of like an outhouse box. But you can see the carpet underneath. And you have little handles. And it's not that heavy. It doesn't smell. But you could pick it up once a day. And you could move it in a particular direction. And I've painted one of the walls red. So it's like you're supposed to move in that direction every day. But something on the outside's limiting you. It weighs too much. You can't just pick it up and walk all the way to the end and say, I made it in one day. You can only pick it up, maybe move it an inch every day. And it seems like hell. It's like a really weird scenario that you would never be in. But you know, in the end, as long as this thing is in an infinite plane of existence, you will cross over the goal line, and it will be an amazing day when all the shackles of what you're going after come off and you've scored whatever you were trying to do. Now, let's talk about scoring. There's a couple things to this. First thing, well, the two things I want to review at this point is make sure your goals are what you really want and think them through, because you'll get them. And you need to make sure that those are the goals you really want. I mean, it's interesting. I've said a couple times when I came to California, all I wanted to be was a software engineer. Really strange. I had all these other skills, and I had just myopically focused. Well, I was a software engineer by the end of the year. My first day was October 1st, 1987, working for the TurboTax people, 18th employee, massive opportunities. By December 31st, I was an engineer coding tax pages and drawing fonts and drawing all kinds of stuff and programming at the same time. So it was exciting for me because I was told my whole life that if I didn't have a degree, I couldn't do anything with my life, and that just, you know, computer programming was for, you know, super mad scientists, and I you know, had to convince myself I could do it, which I could, and I did. All right. When I finally woke up out of the coma, I realized, Jesus, why did I program at a tax company and not a video game company? I eventually got to the video game side of things in a couple of years, but it was kind of weird. I got the goal, and then I was sort of bored to death. I bought a brand new car, got a really nice apartment, and I was definitely having fun as a young person making an adult salary, but still, it was kind of like if someone asked me what I did, I was like, I worked for that tax company, and nobody knew what a freaking mouse was, let alone what TurboTax was. It was called MacinTax back in the day. All right, so I got my goal, and it wasn't really well thought out. Now, it led to other things, right? So we're going to have to work on making sure your goals are what you want. But now the other one is this. If you're like most of us, you need to learn some skills to get to where you want to be. Even if you think you have the skills, you're usually going to get schooled a little bit, and believe me, that's the fun part. But you need to go back to the old biblical analogy of giving a person fish, feeding a person fish, or teaching them how to fish themselves, right? Because if you give someone fish, then you have to come back the next day and give them fish. But if you teach them how to fish, man, they're self-sufficient. And you are the person in need of the fish. You are going to have to make sure that you acquire the permanent knowledge for how to do something in your core discipline. Now, let's say you start a business and you need an accountant. Well, very few people go off and get accounting degrees simply because they need an accountant. Accountants, very specifically, as a small digression, are very difficult to find. Really good ones. If you got a good one, then you're a real lucky person. But the amount of times I've been burned by shitty accountants is almost unanimous. So you're definitely going to hire some things out. But now here's the thing. Having hung out with plenty of celebrities in my lifetime and da-da-da. By the way, I need to make a digression here after I make this point. A friend of mine just brought up a good point. The amount of friends I know that have had their money embezzled away from them and they wake up completely broke after all of their major accomplishments in life are done and they're not going to get a guaranteed reprisal of all these previous events, right? It's pretty high. It's pretty damn high. And the reason why is that they didn't understand enough about the accounting and the flow of money in their lives to protect themselves. They signed things. They gave power of attorney away to either attorneys or agents or managers or accountants or partners, and everything gets squandered away. At that point, they wish they had the degree. Now, you're not going to get it, but you need to know the basics. You need, and I'm telling you, what you do is you sit down with one of these folks and you demand that they tell you everything about everything, and you be a son of a bitch with them. You be the devil's advocate on every concept and every decision they make. Go get second opinions if you don't have a good pedigree behind the person that you're dealing with. Now, this is almost a complete right angle digression, but it's important. I wish I could find an easier way to get it to everyone. But for all the loyal fans who can make it to 44 minutes, this is for you. So a friend of mine said, you know, are you insecure? And it didn't quite go down exactly with this exchange, but this is how I sort of got the information. They basically said, you know, I get the sense you're not like this, but you need to know from an outside standpoint, it looks like you're a fragile person with perhaps a fragile ego, and that you mention celebrities and you mention whatever accomplishments or the girls you've dated or all this kind of stuff as if you need to prove to us that you're really smart, that you know famous people, and that you can get the girls. Now, I'm hoping that most of you know that that's not why I mention those things, but I wouldn't blame you if you did, because I might even think the same thing, especially if I've only seen one episode, and in that particular episode, I went through all three subjects, or however many there are, right? Now, let's just take it down the line here. In terms of my relationships with people, I probably have beat it up a little too much, but I think, you know, I'm one of these people that says I can take any class in any school anywhere from probably fourth grade to Caltech PhD courses and get something out of it. And the same goes for interacting with most human beings in the world. Well, where do you interact most people in the world? Well, it's your intimate relationships with people. And I do not mean sexual. I just mean sitting down and getting to know someone. And there's nothing wrong with them if they're not compatible with you. There might be a square peg in your round hole. Doesn't matter, right? So I mention those experiences because they're so rich with education. It helps me understand who I am, helps me understand how other people behave. And then all of us are dealing with problems and situations that we have to fix. And so this is just a really cool way to get the information very quickly. And it's a really easy, you know, sort of substrate for me to bounce ideas off of so you can hear me talk. Okay, so that's the ladies. In terms of celebrities, I mention those because I think that there's a lot of horseshit around desires to be famous. I think there's a lot of misunderstandings about being famous. I think there's misconceptions about how wealthy people are. I think there's misconceptions about how easy it is to have become famous, at least in the decades that I'm discussing, the 80s, the 90s, etc., and even before that. So what I try to do with my relationships with famous people is that I try to distill it for you so you understand that being normal, and we're all special, but you know, waking up a normal human being without TMZ outside, worried about who you just slept with or what you brushed your teeth with, that is, that's where I want you. I want you to be lucid in this world of celebrity worship. Now, in terms of interacting with various industries like the music industry, the Hollywood industry, you know, very few human beings on earth interact with these industries as a dedicated career. right? You have managers and producers, and they live in Hollywood constantly. But I tell you what, have you met many of these people, dozens and dozens and dozens? The look on their face is seldom one of elation. It's a tough career, man. It is super duper tough. And so I want to give you a peek into those careers and peek into those worlds, such that if you want to go in that direction, that you sort of have your uncle who sits on this patio smoking cigars talking to you, give you sort of more realism around what you're getting into, because they are wonderful careers. They are amazing to participate in, but it's important that you know what you're getting into so that you love it when you get there, so you don't have any misconceptions, right? So I feel blessed at times to be around amazing individuals, to be partnered in businesses with amazing individuals. And so what I'm trying to do is share with you those things that you wouldn't have access to, depending on where you are in the world. And what's funny is there's definitely half a dozen people that watch the show that have got 50 times as much experience as I do in those industries, right? And you don't see them whining and crying in the comments about my take on things, because they're looking at me going, oh, that's good. That's good that you're telling them that, because the one thing that a very powerful person hates is having some dipshit come up to them and say, man, I got an idea for a movie. You know, you made that song. I think you should make that song again, but change the lyrics, you know. So that wastes their time, that wastes their life. And I'm hopefully going to get you to the point where what you do have that's special and amazing for them is what you bring to them, right? All right, let's talk about goals. I'm not going to try to make this one terribly long. I'm also losing my light here. Thank you, winter. I'm so not a fan of winter. I'm just going to be honest. I want summer to last. I'd like summer to last about 11 months. And then at full daylight, for long days, summer solstice days, and then about a month of winter. It can snow. It's fine. Making sure that you pick a goal that you actually want to be in is very important. And that sounds pretty trivial. And you might be thinking, duh. But the idea is this. If you're not quite sure what you're going to think of a particular career, then here's the way you approach it. You say, I'm going to get that job. I'm going to get that career. And believe me, you can change your mind at any point in time. And believe me, brilliant people have changed their minds. But I will warn you, there is some beautiful, wonderful wisdom behind finishing what you start. As long as it doesn't consume your whole life and take a decade to do so, and you find out that's not what you want. You suspected that's what you didn't want to do, right? So don't do that. But if it's like 6 months out and you got time, go for it, man. Finish it, because you will learn something, right? And again, I'm not saying if, you know, some amazing opportunity comes up that's clearly better than the one you're on. Yeah, jump ship. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So, man, you know what's funny is I was about to do this, and then I switched over and I did that. How many famous actors and producers, directors, and all these guys have told you a story where they said, I was about to take this role, and I didn't take it. I took this other role. And the one I didn't take turned into this amazing, famous role. Happens all the time. It was Al Pacino took Kramer versus Kramer, but it was actually offered to Dustin Hoffman first. Dustin Hoffman was actually offered a role in Tron 1 in 1982. Weird. But you got to pick your goals, and you got to be careful picking your goals. Take some time. Take some time. But I tell you what, if you have that pull in your chest, that pull in your soul that says, I want to be this and I think I can be it, put that on the list. But now let's, you know, this episode is about taking action. So it's about aiming your gun, which is figuring out where you want to be in life and then firing yourself out of the barrel as efficiently as you possibly can, right? So here's the thing. I don't need to make this 4 hours long. The amount of times that I've consulted with people, helped them out with their business and their careers, if they have a pre-existing business, it goes really smooth. They tell me what they want. I come in and we just analyze. We find the low-hanging fruit, successes, and repairs to their business strategy. Then we go long-term, short-term, and we get the business back on track. It doesn't matter what you do, I can help you out. I'm not really trying to sell myself, but that's just what happens. But for individuals, again, what I have is two experiences. I have people that have a long history of kicking ass and taking names, and they simply ran out of steam at this particular point in their life, and all they needed was a shot in the arm. And the shot in the arm comes in the acknowledgement of their incredible skills. I run into a painter one time, I mentioned a long time ago, I don't even know what episode, but he's an amazing painter, photographic painter, and he built up these amazing skills, was trying to do more metaphorical stuff, but it was pretty dark, and so he wasn't able to sell his paintings, and so I was pissing him off. So I work with him to focus and focus and focus and find other loves in his life, thematical things, you know, themes of things that he loves that he could paint about that perhaps could lure people into some of the darker, more intellectual stuff that he was doing. But what he hadn't had in his life was anyone tell him how amazing he really is. And he is amazing. And, you know, for me, I'm just sitting there frustrated going, Jesus, you need to pick better friends, dude. Because this guy was off the chain, amazing painter. And, you know, maybe it was just that he minimized the opinions of close family and friends. I don't know. But when I was explaining to him, he was showing me all of his paintings in his phone. And I was just looking at him, just commenting on him, being a painter myself, an artist myself. I was just able to give him some visions about what he's doing, or some, observations, I should say. And he just looked at me like I saved his life. Like he was falling off a cliff, and he thought he was alone. He thought he was by himself. And I grabbed his hand out of thin air and yanked him back up on the cliff, and he was fine, right? One, if you can do that to someone else, please do that to someone else. Don't hoard all of the knowledge for yourself, right? Be genuine. Don't bullshit people, right? One of the kiss of deaths that you see all the time on television are people that can't sing, and they go up in the audition. And again, they haven't worried at all as to whether or not they can sing in tune. They just want to be famous. You know, and they have parents that tell them that they're great singers and friends that tell them they're great singers. Or some of them are just by themselves and they tell themselves they're great singers. They don't record themselves with their telephones and play it back. And perhaps they're tone deaf. They can't hear in tune versus out of tune. But if you really want to help anyone in that realm, and this is any skill whatsoever, you got to be honest with people, be encouraging, be constructive, but you got to be honest. The most incredible thing you can do with your life is take your internal goals, break them down into steps, give them a few deadlines, and enjoy life. And you will find that completely screwing up is a wonderful thing too. So I'm going to encourage you right now. If you've been waiting around to take action, take it. Go for it. Don't think of this as someone, being a pain in your ass. Think of this as a very rare friend who's actually for you, on your side, and cheering you on. Because I've seen it come from so many different angles and so many different people that I know that you can succeed. I do. I don't give a shit if you're dying of cancer and you're 99 years old. You can make a goal the next 5 minutes you can achieve and you'll feel great. But if you're young and you're not sick and you have all your mobility and you're fairly clever, think about the amount of excuses you have to not succeed. You got a big zero. A big zero. Get out there and make it happen. Make no excuses. Right? Just ignore excuses. But definitely don't make them yourself. And again, if you're a 5'1" female and you weigh 90 pounds, try not to make a goal that you're going to be a linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys, right? Use your strength to get your goal set up. The world's a wonderful place. It's full of a lot of things. If you're caught up in this world of politics and all this negative stuff going on the planet, let me give you a piece of advice. Disconnect. Disconnect from this bullshit. Disconnect from it robbing you of your life. We all live in a halo of existence. You know, it's about 10-foot radius from where you're sitting. A circle around you that if you tied it to your chest, you have a 10-foot yarn and you drew a 360 around yourself. That's your world. You know, except for when you're driving your car. A little bit more going on there. try a bunch of different stuff. Try a bunch of different stuff if you don't know what you want to do. But find the thematic love in your chest. You want to help people? You like inventing things? Do you want to write some fiction? You want to just mow a lawn? You want to dig a ditch? Because you get satisfaction in anything that you complete? Well, then go do that. In fact, do that while you're thinking about the other thing. There's an interesting story. The guy named Andy Kaufman, who played Lodka on the old, I think it was late 70s, early 80s series Taxi, which is going to be way older for a lot of you guys. The dude was a sort of like a busboy at a restaurant before he became famous, right? And he became famous, and then he, as the rumor goes, he would go back and he would still do busboying because he wanted to keep grounded, and it just kind of let him think about his comedy. And he was a revolutionary stand-up comedian. Revolutionary. Which is why people like Jim Carrey worshipped him. If you want to see some brilliant stuff, and you may not think it's funny, but you have to understand it is absolutely as left field as it gets. Go look up Andy Kaufman doing Mighty Mouse or Elvis or any of his early stand-up, and you'll see him doing stuff on stage that no one had conceived of. Okay? As crazy as it is, it was brilliant. So you might be thinking, well, I'm not famous, so what does that analogy have to do with me? Okay, well, here's the thing. He was a busboy before he got there. So why can't you do something like that, some menial thing, to build up your rapport with yourself, to hear your inner voice, your inner creativity, and go do what you want to do as soon as you got your plan together? Most of us have jobs, right? You got a job. It may not be 100% what you want to do, but then you incubate and you plan. And then you take action, right? Remember that football field analogy. It's 300 yards. There's 100 yards, 300 feet. 1 inch every single day, every day, will get you to the end zone. Just take 300 yards divided by an inch. 300 times 12, that's how many days you're going to need. But you will get there. It's about 10 years. It's not going to take you 10 years. Not even close, most likely. I want you to enjoy your life. A happy society is a peaceful, wonderful, loving society. Why are people so pissed off? Why are people, you know, dividing up their own identifications? It's because internally they don't, well, externally they don't want to deal with life, and so internally they become all upset with themselves. And instead of trying to mitigate all of the obstacles of life, they simply disintegrate and classify themselves, right? I can't become a balanced, normal human being, so I'm going to be this fucking train wreck of a human being. And then I'm just going to make you, you know, let me identify with being a train wreck of a different species, right? If a train hits a semi, we call it one identification. If a train hits another train, it's another identification. Well, why have an impact at all like that? Why not make something beautiful? Take something out of your soul and put it out there for us to see. Combine it with other people's souls. Make something even more intense. I'm going to tell you, whatever you do by yourself is 1x, right? It's 1 times whatever you're doing, which means it is what you do. But if you put 2 people together and you guys can harmonize and do something together, it's 2x. It's exponentially more. Before I started my video game company, I give you this analogy and then I'll shut up. My buddy and I were making $5,000 a month. Messing around. And that was barely paying the bills, right? That was us having to spend the tax money just to pay the rent at the time. I said to him, look, man, let's start a corporation. Let's get this thing going. Let's get some employees. Use some of our friends. He said, okay. Great. We formed a corporation. It cost us $650 from LegalZoom.com. The very next paycheck we got for one game, which would have produced maybe 5,000, maybe 10,000 if both of us worked on it separately, we got 55 grand for the next project. Why? Because we were a C Corp going into another C Corp. So don't do everything by yourself either. Anyway, that's it. Hope you feel me. Totally lost my light. I'm going to do some of these probably for season two, where I'm just outside because I'm extremely busy, and so I got to use the time when I have it. Obviously, if you dig the series, please subscribe. If you dig the episode, please like. Welcome, newcomers. Thank you for all the people that have been here for a really long time. Please comment. The comments are just so rich and so amazing. Love, love, love. That's all I got to say. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.